Welcome to the BCMA Podcast. On May 20th, 2020, the Creston Museum reopened to the public, making it one of the first museums in the province to reopen after the COVID-19 public health orders. To see what the first few days of being reopened were like, and how they approached adapting their site to our new reality, today I'm joined by Tammy Bradford, manager of the Creston Museum. How was your first week? I guess you would have opened on Tuesday of this week, right?
Wednesday. Yeah. So this is only our third day. And so far it's been really, really quiet. So I can't really say whether the protocols we've put in place are going to work, but we're pretty confident that we've got things fairly well under control. Yeah. Hoping for the best.
And for people that may not be familiar with your site, can you just describe it briefly?
We've got an acre of property. We are a community history museum, not a living history site, but we do have a number of outdoor exhibits, as well as two principal buildings, only one of which is open right now. We kind of had a tree land on the other one. On March 14th, everything happened at once. We got shut down and the tree came down. So our second building is closed for the time being. So we've got, at this point, approximately two-thirds of our spaces are outdoors, and the rest is inside in a stone building that was built in the late 1950s and early 1960s. It's an L-shaped structure that kind of meanders around, and all on one level. We do have a second story, but we've got that closed right now because it's in and out on the same route on a very narrow staircase, and we're just not confident we can keep people distant while they are there or while they're entering or exiting that space. So yeah, we've got, if you imagine kind of a figure eight, if you take the route that's through that we've got, you come in a big curb and then you come around through the buildings and then around in the opposite direction and up to finish the eight.
Before you reopened on Wednesday, how were the past 2 months for your site?
We tend to be pretty quiet in February, March. It starts to pick up a little bit in April. So we did lose some visitation. You know, we shut down, I think it was Tuesday the 17th of March that we decided we were going to shut down at the same time that everybody else was making that decision. And then everybody was home by the time we got all of that sorted out and notified our volunteers and everything. It was noon on the Wednesday that everybody was working at home. I've been in and out a fair bit, actually working most of my hours at work, but everybody else has been working at home. And it's been not bad. We're not really set up for that. So there is a fairly steep learning curve and some scrambling to get everything in place, but we've managed it.
As we were just talking about before we started recording, there's a lot of information to process when you're thinking yes. about reopening a site. And it sounds like you've got a fair mix of indoor space, outdoor space, heritage mm-hmm. spaces. What kind of first steps did you take when figuring out how best to reopen?
Well, first of all, we were looking at all of the resources that are coming out there. In particular, there was some information coming from the Manitoba Museums Association. Well, I guess it was the Manitoba government, but it was shared by the Museums Association, which spelled out what museums needed to do. And it was all pretty common sense stuff, things that we'd been already looking at by seeing what grocery stores and drug stores were doing and reading what this virus is and how it's transmitted. And then looking at our spaces, and we've had endless FaceTime conversations, my staff and I, on what we could do, what we had to change. It's been a challenge because we've spent years, ever since I've been here, 22 years now, we've been working steadily to turn everything we possibly can into an interactive hands-on. It's not technological interactions, it's actual, here's an artifact you can handle, and people love it. It's one of the most common comments we get is how much people love how open it is and how close they could get to things. And yes, you can walk in and we'll demonstrate things. And there's a few things that are behind glass, of course, but people really respect that we're making those choices and they love that we have, yeah, sure, bang on that typewriter or check out that pool table or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're having to really rethink how we are engaging people with the collections that we have on display, because we can't let them touch them anymore. Most of it you can't attack with hydrogen peroxide and bleach-based cleaners. So looking at things like the guidelines from the Manitoba Museum, There was one that came out in Germany, I think, really early. So we were looking at that and going, yep, they're obviously talking about much, much bigger institutions than we are. We've also looked at guidelines for retail spaces, for WorkSafe BC policies, even farmers markets, because we do have outdoor spaces and people do wander through. So that was our first step. And then taking all of those guidelines, pulling out the bits that are relevant to us, and then walking through our spaces. We did this mentally because we were all sitting on our couches at home, thinking what our spaces were like and what we needed to do. And very quickly decided that we were moving to a hands-off, self-guided format, especially inside, because our rooms are very small. The one I'm sitting in right now is 12 by 14 feet, and it's one of our larger ones. Having a group, even a family group, three or four people in these spaces with one of our staff people, there's just no way we could keep everybody 6 feet apart from each other and 6 feet away from anything that might be handled. So self-guided it is, hands off as much as we possibly can. It
must be so frustrating because actually, congratulations on the newspaper article published about you.
You saw that, did you?
Before we are calling. And one of the things they note,
apparently the local paper is really stuck for content.
Well, one of the things they note and that you just brought up is that you've done such an amazing transition to getting everything to be hands-on and interactive and really engaging for the community. So to have to transition to undo all of that hard work must be really frustrating for you.
It is frustrating in a way. It's also challenging and exhilarating because it's forcing us to think about things in entirely new ways. So there's the silver lining for you. The hard part is how quickly we need to do this. I mean, what's taken us, the museum's been open for, oh my goodness, since 1982, 38 years now. So a 38 year process, we're having to reverse in a matter of weeks. I have no idea where to start. So we basically did say, okay, hands off, we'll open hands off and then gradually add things as we were able to. So we're really looking at different ways of interacting, like trying to use different senses and different movements. For example, our pool table, which turns into a couch, that's something that we can direct people's attention to. We can put up a sign that says, okay, bend over. So they are physically engaging, and little kids have no problem. They figure out the pool table much faster than their parents. But if you look underneath the top of it, you can see the bench, and that gives you a clue that there's something more going on. So we're looking at things like move and think and look and imagine and, you know, all of these action words that don't involve touching. It's fun, even if it is a little bit frustrating.
But how does a pool table turn into a couch?
Okay, so imagine the pool table. It's got hinges, basically. So the whole top just rotates back and through 90 degrees to become the back of the bench. And the underside of the top, which has the slate and the felt and the pockets and everything, the underside of that is padded. And then there's a bench that sits underneath it. So it just rotates over.
Oh, was that a custom build?
No, it was manufactured. It's Brunswick Bumkey Calendar Company. So still Brunswick company that's making pool tables and bowling equipment today. And they made these things specifically for middle-class families who wanted all of the trappings of a wealthier lifestyle, but usually didn't have a house big enough for a separate parlor and billiards room.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you could also get them, the top simply rotated 180 degrees. You can't see me. I'm actually doing hand movements here to show you how it works. But yeah, the top rotated through 180 degrees. Solid oak on the underside became your dining room table. Hmm. Yeah, these are really unusual. It's one of two things in the museum that I have never yet had anybody say they remember ever seeing or hearing of. It's so cool that we have one.
When you're working on your reopening plans, what kind of steps did you take to make sure that your staff and volunteers were being brought up to speed on things, involved in the process? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, my staff and I, there's only three of us, plus a very part-time maintenance guy. We've been talking about this every step of the way. It has not been me reading all of this stuff and making these decisions unilaterally, not by a long shot. We've had almost every week, we've had FaceTime discussions where, okay, so this is what they're saying now. Because of course, everybody's learning about this virus. It's so new that it's such a steep learning curve for everybody. So whenever something new comes out about how it's transmitted or how to manage it, how to prevent it, we've been looking at that and thinking, okay, so what do we how does that affect us? What do we need to do to react to that? So yeah, the three of us have been having endless conversations, like I say, every week at least. And then my board as well, I've been talking to them. We've had a couple of virtual board meetings, a very first for us, virtual board meeting. And we've decided we need to do it more often because we actually had a full house. Never happens in person. And so we've had all of these discussions. I've been sending emails out to our volunteers fairly regularly, every 2 to 3 weeks or so, just this is what's going on. And now that we are back in business, we're talking to our volunteers all the time. Some of them are coming back, some of them are not, at least not volunteering in person, though they're still active as much as we can virtually. Yeah, just making sure that they are aware of what we are doing, how we're keeping them safe, if they've got suggestions. And we've had a few, some going, yeah, we should do this. And sometimes they're suggesting things that we've already thought of. Sometimes they're bringing a new bit of information to the table. So it's been actually a really exhilarating opportunity for collaboration. And I hate that it's taken something like this to create that level of collaboration. I'm kind of wishing we found ways to do it before, but it's been pretty interesting seeing everybody coming together on
it. And now that you've been open for a few days, you know, it's still very early days, but what's the response from the community been like?
We've actually had a very positive response, even though we haven't had a lot of people coming in yet. And the weather has been absolutely miserable, so nobody's coming out of their houses, I think. But, you know, people are going, wow, that is great. We've kind of taken it on ourselves to be the way of keeping the community entertained and connected through all of this. Ever since we shut down, we've been putting, you might have seen some of it because I've been sharing it to you, to the BCMA Facebook page as well. Our daily dose of history, you know, something fun to read, something to talk about, trying to connect it with things you can do or ways to get out in the community. And now that we're open, we are adding to that. While you're at it, come down to the museum and see some of these things that reflect whatever story we're talking about this week. And the response has been really, really good. And because we're such a small town and a lot of things aren't open yet, there's really not much for people to do. Like the rec center is still closed. The theater is still closed. There's trails and stuff. But as far as things to do, there's really not that much. So we're kind of going, okay, we kind of need to be there so the community can come in and do things. And we do recognize that our target audience this year is likely to be locals. Or people who are just within a couple of hours drive, who are just trying to get out of the house and do something a bit different. So we're really trying to come up with different things that they can do and see and think about if they come several times over the course of the summer.
And what I find with any kind of thing that involves other people is there's plans, which kind of go one way, and then there's the actual interaction with people, which can often go in unexpected ways. Have there been plans that you've made in your site that you found have worked differently than expected once the community is actually involved?
Probably a little early to tell, but well, the first group that I had through, for example, I'm wearing my mask, I'm trying to maintain my distances, and I had to completely rethink on the fly how I was doing things because I've given tours of this place for 22 years. There's certain things that I do every single time. I go to do it and then have to stop. And I'm sure I looked like a clown at some point because I just kept moving towards things and then moving back, reaching for things and not picking them up. So yeah, I also found that our visitors, they are conscious of not being able to touch things, but we've got like a replica 1908 Sears catalog right on the store counter that people flip through all the time. And we're going to have to figure out how to deal with that because these people are going, oh, I can't touch. And then they're touching and oh, I can't touch. And then they're trying to flip through it. So that might be the first thing that comes off of display. We have also got some, they're just deli gloves, those really cheap, thin plastic ones that we're thinking, okay, if people are allowed to touch this, we can't wipe down that catalog, obviously. But if we put a sign beside it and a stash of gloves and say, if you want to touch this, you must wear gloves, we'll see how that goes. If people respect it, we might continue it. If they don't respect it, then that catalog is going to go. So we're really looking at things, and as people go through, noticing what they are doing and then what we need to do to make sure that that is safe and appropriate.
For all the sites that are currently in the process of planning the reopenings, is there one or two pieces of advice you would really recommend given your experiences?
The hardest part, I might sound confident, I might sound like I know what I'm doing, but I have been totally second guessing myself every step of the way. I'd say that's probably something that's quite normal if you find yourself doing this, wondering, should we do this? Should we not? Are we doing it right? What are people going to think? You know, if my experience is anything to go by, that's going to happen, and you just kind of have to work through it. When we first announced that we were opening, who was it? It was somebody on the BCMA site, Chris Matheson, I think, said, yeah, we're about a month away from opening. And I'm immediately going, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that, because, you know, I'm having to really psych myself up that this is something we should be doing. And I am confident that it is something we should be doing because we have that role to play in the community. And I'm also looking at everything else that's opening and going, okay, well, if the hairdressers can do it and the gyms can do it, then we can do it. We just need to find a way to make sure that we're doing it properly. So yeah, I think that doubt, that wonder, that fear really is perfectly normal, and have to find ways to manage it. If it feels comfortable to me and to my staff and my volunteers who are coming back in and doing things, then we're probably addressing the major concerns that the public would have.
That's such a great point. I just go with what feels comfortable and right to you, because I think what's so challenging with the museum sector is that no two museums are the same, no two mm-hmm. have the same relationship with their community, and they can be everything from, you know, a multi-acre outdoor site to a 500 square foot historic house, and there's not really one rule that's going to work for everyone.
No, absolutely not. If we were a bigger site in a bigger community with more traffic and attracting people from farther afield, I would probably feel very, very differently. The fact that we can almost count on having very few numbers has made this whole process a whole lot easier, because we know we can manage it. We can literally watch every single person who goes through the museum and deal with whatever they might do. So we can also modify our own reactions, our own interactions with them, with every single person who comes through. That's a huge advantage. You know, most of the time having small visitation is not something you want in a museum, but it is hugely beneficial right now. And as time goes on, if things continue to relax and people get more and more confident, and we do see our numbers coming up, hopefully we will be very confident ourselves in how we are managing them. But because we've had this tradition of interacting directly with every single person who comes through our doors, we can respond to their fears and their concerns and anything that they might touch on their way through.
And what do you think the next few months are going to look like for your site?
Oh, I have no idea. We were kind of debating whether... We weren't sure whether opening up would mean people are going, okay, it's there, I'll go in at some point when I feel comfortable, or if they would go, oh, thank heavens, there's something to do outside of the house, and we'd have the entire town of Creston down here in one day. 3 days in, I can tell you it's definitely the first one. They're going, yep, we're glad it's open. Thank you. We'll be in. So I think a lot of it is going to depend on just what happens provincially. I mean, we're not going to see much American visitation coming up this year, but I think we will be seeing more provincial tourism and more local visitation than we have before. We're actually thinking this might be a really good opportunity, and again, not ideal situation, but a good opportunity for us to build those local audiences. We've always done fairly well in that, but there's definitely room for improvement. And, you know, if we can demonstrate to the community that this is a place where they can come when they need, just not deal with day-to-day life anymore, when they need something different, when they need a way of entertaining themselves or their guests or their kids or whatever. We have been becoming that more and more over the past years, and hopefully we can continue to build on that relationship with the community.
What are some ways that people can follow your site if they're interested in following the journey as you embark on it?
Well, we have our website, crestonmuseum.ca. And from our homepage, if you click on the link that says Daily Dose of History, that'll take you to the page where we've been posting all of this online entertain yourselves at home or out in the community or now down at the museum stuff that we've been doing for 2 months and 3 days, 5 days now. And that gets shared to our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/Creston Museum. We also have a Twitter feed and Instagram. And yeah, we'll be continuing all of this. It's going to be a challenge because we are going to be a bit short-staffed this year compared to what we've had in the past. And here we are adding this fairly massive online dimension to what we're doing. But yeah, if people want to see what we're doing and how it's going, that's where it'll be. And anybody who has specific questions, of course, is always more than welcome to phone or email. I'd be more than happy to share whatever insights I can. It's a little, I'm not sure what the word is, daunting, I guess, sitting here being the one that people are looking to for advice, because I still very much feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I look at all of these big professional museums and go, wow, it'd be really nice to be like them.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting about the last couple months is that it's, you know, nobody knows what they're doing.
Nobody knows
what's going on. And we're all kind of in the same boat to some degree.
Yeah. And it's interesting from a community standpoint as well. I admit one of the reasons we felt we needed to open is because our local restaurants and hotels are desperate to reopen. You know, if they are working to build interprovincial tourism, sorry, intra-provincial, so getting people from BC, traveling within BC and creating, salvaging in some way the tourism season, you know, our hoteliers and our restaurant owners need something for those traveling people to do. And again, that's kind of us. So, you know, there are other things, the farmers market, there's wineries and such in town, but they are looking at a very, very different picture as well. You know, we're pretty much the only ones who can kind of go ahead with something approximating normal operations. So I suspect the hoteliers are going to be really looking to us to provide a reason for their visitors, their guests to stay in town. So we're kind of going, okay, let's figure this out, see what we can do. So yeah, nobody knows anything what's going to be happening. And we're all kind of looking to each other to be whatever it is each business and each industry needs.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing some of your experience. Like you said, we're all in this together. And I think the more we can share the challenges, the successes, the ideas that we're having, I think the stronger everyone's reopening plans will be.
I think so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what other museums are doing as well. Like I say, our plans are kind of in flux. So if I see somebody doing something else that really works that maybe we haven't thought of, then yeah, I'd sure love to have that resource to fall back on.